Hey, what's up, my people, mi gente? Welcome to another episode of What's Next. I'm your host, Lou Moroto, and thank you for tuning in with me. So, what are we going to talk about today? Something that I probably should have done back in probably episode number one, all right? A lot of people that are tuning in to my platform, my podcast, some of you guys have no idea who I am. And they're like, oh, who the heck is this dude just popped out of nowhere? All right. So I'll give you guys a little bit of information about myself. All right. Everything you can find really online on my website at protectingpalmbeach.com, which is my business website. Excuse me. So who is Lou Moroto? I was born and raised in Yonkers, New York, all right? I was there till about 90. In 1990, I gained a new family member. His name was Uncle Sam. So, 1990, I ended up joining the Marine Corps, and I was gone for 4 years. My brother also joined the Army, and he was gone for, I think, about 5 or 6 years, I believe. We both ended up in Desert Storm 1, Desert Storm, Desert Shield, you know, and our parents lived in New York. Once we joined the military, they ended up going back to, they retired. You know, my dad was a construction worker. My mom was one of the hardest, both my parents were one of the hardest working parents anyone could have. Again, my dad was a construction worker. My mom worked in a factory where most of our moms have worked. She used to put the little spray can caps on the actual spray cans. So you can only imagine, you know, 55-gallon drums full of caps. And her job was to all day put those little caps on those cans, and she did that for 20 plus years. God rest their souls. They were both they're both deceased in a fatal car accident back in 2008, December 14, 2008. So that's a pretty tough time for our family every year. It sucks, but hey, God had other plans for them. All right, so 1994, I'm in the Marine Corps. 94, I get my honorable discharge, and I end up moving pretty much cold turkey with my wife and my first son, Louis. We end up moving to West Palm. I had had some cousins that lived down here, so we had a little bit of guidance. Thank God they helped us out in the beginning, but we eventually got on our own 2 feet and began life. Prior to me moving down to Florida, I had taken the New York State Police test. And I'm going to show my age. I'm talking about 1987, 88, I took the New York State Police test. I think I was, I swear to God, I remember looking at that piece of paper that I received after my test results. And I think I was like number 10,000, like 10,000 on the list. I'm doing my 4 year commitment to the military in 1993. I get a phone call, not a phone call. I get a, there was no emails. I get a letter, right? I get a letter from New York State Police advising me that there is a seat open. Now, I waited for this seat for, you know, what, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, six, 7 years I waited for that letter. But I already had it in my mind. I already had made a decision, excuse me, that my wife and I were going to move down to Florida. I didn't want my kid. We were planning on having a second child. But I didn't want my kids growing up in New York, the environment that I grew up in. So just the way things were, I just didn't want them growing up in New York. I love New York. I go back. Matter of fact, I'm going back in a week, but I go back often to see all my high school friends that still live up there, see some of my wife's family. But, you know, it's just we go every so often. So we come down here, and let me tell you, it was hard as hell when I first got out the Marine Corps. There was not the resources that maybe are in place nowadays for veterans. When I left there, I literally had a nickel to my name, because you don't join the military for money. They don't give you no severance package, anything like that. So you better have something in place when you get up. So it was some tough times. But I knew that I wanted to be a police officer. I wanted to go in law enforcement. So in 1994, City of West Palm Beach was accepting applications for non-certified officers. Something that was like the beginning stages of West Palm starting to take uncertified applications. So in 1994, I put in my application at the old police station, which was, I believe was on a Vernier or a Daytona downtown West Palm. So in between the application, you know, I was working like three jobs to make ends meet. I remember I worked at one of the rental car agencies here in West Palm. I was cleaning cars. I leave there, and I go work for some multimillionaire lady in Wellington, equestrian farm, right? And I used to pick up all the damn shit from all the stables, literally, right? That was my job, to clean the stables, throw new hay down there, cut her grass, or, you know, acres of grass. And at the same time, I was volunteering at the SO, directing traffic at the airport. And the whole purpose of that was I was trying to get my foot in the door to possibly get sponsored with them. You know, I kind of had all my eggs in one basket with West Palm, but I was out of the dozen, I left one for the SO. just to see if maybe they would pick me up. And for a lot of people out there that are trying to be police officers, here's my advice to you. Do as many ride-alongs as you can. Ride-alongs, which is when you as a civilian get to go to any local jurisdiction and say, hey, I like to do a voluntary ride-along. You sign a paper, there's some liability forms. You sign them, they do a quick background on you. And you go for a ride, they assign you to a specific officer. Hopefully you don't get assigned to a slug and you sit underneath a tree for 4 hours. But back then, I got to meet so many people that were working on the job. From the patrol officers to the supervisors, you know, the sergeants and lieutenants, a couple of captains, I remember. And I kept doing that, like, every Friday night. And I was really lucky that I kept doing it with this, they would assign me to the same officer. We're still friends till this day. He's not a sworn officer anymore, different business. But I was assigned to him particularly, and I would ride with him. We became friends. You know, I wasn't a bother to him when I rode with him. We would talk about mutual things that we had in common. We were both from up north. So it was actually fun. You know, I guess it kept him busy, having somebody to talk and BS with. And at the same time, he would let me go to every single call. I would go to every single call with him. So that's one of the best ways you can get exposed to what we do for a living. You'll get a little bit of a feeling whether that's what you want to do or not. real quick if it's a busy city. If it's a city like, Manalapan or Atlantis or something like that, you're gonna be bored to death. But if you want action, you gotta pick a city that you know that action is there. But long story short, I get hired in 95, and I start working the road in February of 96. That was the beginning of the best almost 29 years of my life, because August of this year, 2024, I retire. It's my second chapter in life begins. So I may not be showing it right now, but I'm very excited that part of my life is coming to an end. I've met a vast amount of great people. Some are associates, right, or colleagues, and then some are really good friends, best friends, right? There's more associates than best friends in my circle. So, and I don't, I don't mean that in a bad way, or a negative way. That's just the way it is. There's a lot of people I know, but out of all those people, just a couple of them are my best friends, or I would actually invite to my house. At work, we all take care of each other, but in my personal life, there's only certain people in it. All right. During those almost 29 years, 20 and a half years, I was so blessed because I worked a lot for a particular sergeant first. His name was Danny Sargent. And I know that when you guys that are listening hear his name, you guys, immediately know who I'm talking about. Before I continue, and I kind of messed this up, but hey, this is a machine in grow, that needs to be that needs to be immediately oiled up before you start. It's literally a one man show, and I don't mean that in a bragging or gloating kind of way. I really do all this shit by myself, and it's tough because I'm a police officer. I'm not a media guy. I don't know about mixers and highs and lows and this little Christmas tree of buttons. I don't know if you guys can see it. You guys can see it. I'll go back to the Danny Sargent story in a second, but I should have said this in the beginning. I have to thank so many people that have helped me get to this point. And I hope, again, the whole purpose of this is me introducing myself to you guys, the world. I should have done this episode number one, but like I said, it's a learning pains, right? I have to thank Simpatico Real Estate, my man Tommy Morrison, probably one of the biggest friend, sponsors, friend, supporter that I have. Simpatico Real Estate is, of course, a very big commercial business, real estate business, family owned here in Palm Beach County. So I have to thank him from jump, because without him, I wouldn't have most of this equipment. I wouldn't have this beautiful venue that I can look out and pretty much see the whole city of West Palm. So thank you to Tommy Morrison for allowing me to have this platform. Okay. I have to thank Bushel Stop, the Bushel Stop Landscaping Supply Store, one of the biggest places in Palm Beach County in Southeast Florida. They have about five or six stores, so please visit them for all your landscaping needs. All right? Residential and commercial, these guys have it. Again, family-owned business, so you gain quality material. So thank you to Joe Van. I'll never forget you, my brother. One of my best friends that started with me, we were in academy together actually. So, Simpatico Real Estate, Butcher Stop, Inkhead Designs, my man Rudy in the South End of the City. Go see him for any graphic designs. Right? He's got he can do anything for you. He did from doing my banner here in the background to decals. You know, he can do all kind of vinyl stuff, t-shirts, whatever you need. Go see my man Rudy down in South End City at Inkhead Designs. Hope I'm not forgetting anybody. So thank you to all of them for helping me have this platform. All right. So let me go back real quick to Danny Sargent. So I worked for this man, and that literally took me under his wing and showed me how to be a good police officer. Without Danny, there was another gentleman, another lieutenant called Lieutenant Sowers. He was a commander of the SWAT team back then. Danny Sargent was on a SWAT team. So those two guys kind of directed me, and they groomed me, you know, but more Danny, to becoming a good police officer, an honest police officer. Someone that really cared about the job, was disciplined, and enjoyed going out there and providing that type of a specific type of service to the citizens of West Palm Beach. So once I started Road Patrol, I kind of I worked my way. You know, I think I did like 2 years on the road. And then again, blessed and fortunate enough to know Danny, that if he saw that you were an earner, a hard worker, you know, he assisted you in getting to making lateral moves. So I was very fortunate enough to be in numerous specialized units while working for the city of West Palm. And in every unit, I learned something different, right? My forte, what I love to do the most, was narcotics investigations. Okay, that's what I did for about, I don't know, about 10 years of my life, half of my career, I think, I spent in organized crime, from jump outs to small buys, undercover buys, doing small narcotic investigations, to moving up to organized crime and working, you know, large scale narcotics trafficking organizations, assisting in wiretaps, you know, just stuff that you guys would see on TV. I was very fortunate to be a part of it and actually do it. One of the best units I was in was K9, and of course SWAT. You know, SWAT was a unit that you had to be mentally and physically prepared for, right? There was a trial, a rigorous tryout that tested both of those qualities, you know, being mentally strong, being physically fit. You don't just sign up and get put on a team. And for those that are listening that come from other agencies, you guys know that West Palm, this I'll say in a little bit of a bragging way, that we have one of the hardest trials in probably Florida, right? We have a great team, and the team that we had back then was even greater. So now I'm getting to the point where I'm about to separate, right? I'm fast forwarding to what's next in life. And that's something that I kind of prepared for back in 09, 2009. 2009, I started my own business that's named Palm Beach Personal Protection Group and Investigations Agency. Luckily, because of the courses that I attended throughout the time from 96 to 2008, 2009, I obtained all my Department of Agriculture, excuse me, all my security licenses, which you guys can see if anybody is looking for any type of security needs or or when you're checking up and you're vetting me as an instructor, because I am a firearms instructor. If you're vetting me and trying to see what type of certifications I have and what courses I've been to, all my stuff is public, published on my website. If you go to protectingpalmbeach.com, you can go to the media tab and you'll see all of my certifications over the years. And guys, listen to me. I busted my ass to get every single certification that you guys will see on that on that website. All right, so again, what's next? So back in 21, I was more a little bit more into the podcasting. I was watching or listening to different podcasts, and I said, you know what? I think I want to try this. I found it challenging to actually speak, and interview somebody in front of a camera. Not everyone can speak in front of a camera, and by no means am I saying that I am there. This is a work in progress for me. Believe you me, I really didn't understand how hard it is to actually start your own podcast. I really am a one-man show. Again, I don't mean that in a bragging kind of way. For those of you that know me, you know that I'm a very humble dude. I don't gloat. I don't brag about anything. I'm a very humble dude. But learning how to do media or dealing with media has blown my mind. Sometimes I want to throw all this shit out the window. Luckily, these windows don't open. But sometimes I really want to throw all this shit out the window and say, you know what? I'm done with it. But hey, again, you gotta be mentally strong, and then just you gotta accept that obstacle, that challenge, and try to overcome it. So I had to learn how to deal with mixers and plugging in all these XLR cables, talking all fancy. I bought a camera at the pawn shop. I used my cell phone as a backup, and then again, I was blessed with all the equipment to now be able to have the platform. So this is episode 17, which I'm very proud of. Not every episode has been the best or has come out perfectly. Like I said, it's a work in progress, and I apologize in advance if something is not where it's supposed to be. Trust me, I'm trying to get there. I had a great guest my last episode 16, and I didn't realize that I didn't turn on my guest lapel mic. And for whatever reason, my Audacity program did not pick up the audio from these desk microphones. So now, right now, I make sure that my lapel mic is working just in case one of the audio pieces go down. I'll have a backup. Same way with the camera. So, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of shit to do. All right. And what I do is I put a big monitor, one of my old TVs that I had at home. I use that in the background so I can see what you guys are gonna see on TV when you go to YouTube at What's Next with Lou Maroto podcast. So I can get an idea, what you guys are looking at. But I'm constantly, it's not that I can't stay still, but I'm constantly adjusting something, making sure that the audio is recording, making sure the time is not going over a certain amount, constantly moving. So, what's next? What's next is a platform that I have, and what it is a platform to listen to other people's stories in life, whether it be an impactful story, a traumatic story, a story of glory, something good that happened to you. But I want you as a guest in the hopes that it may change someone else's life, someone who may be going through what you went through. So I want other people to be able to listen to what you had to say, and maybe it changed or changes their life. Everyone is welcome on my platform, on my podcast. It's just not, this is not a strictly a law enforcement, first responder kind of show. Right? I'm done with that portion of life. All right. I'm thankful, but I'm kind of done with that portion of life. I want to listen to everyone's story, no specific background. A lot of people nowadays, especially after COVID, have gone through some very challenging times in their life. A lot of veterans are going through very challenging times in their lives. So I want to hear your stories. You know, please send me an email at protectingpalmbeach@gmail.com. Or you can call me, send me a text, 561-308-9653. Let me know you want to be a guest. We'll speak on the phone or whatever in person, and then we'll set it up. My goal is to do about a minimum of two shows a week right now. Right? And that's a lot of work for one person. The hardest part in podcasting is the freaking editing. You know, you have to be very patient, because there are some challenging times when you're dealing with trying to edit stuff, you know. Sometimes I'd rather just pay somebody, but then I kind of say, hey, if I have to pay somebody for every episode, I'm going to go broke. I don't have those type of sponsors yet, and that's where I want to be someday. Where I have some sponsors, where, you know, there's some money coming in to keep all of this running, to make it worth your while to spend so many hours in a day to sit back here and speak to people so you entertain others. So, which is what the big talk show hosts do nowadays, right? They get paid millions of dollars to do what they do. But they had to start somewhere, for the most part. So again, What's Next Podcast is a platform that invites everyone. I don't care where you come from, where, you know, your race, your religion, none of that stuff matters to me. If it's a good story and you're willing to share it, drop me a line, okay? So again, basically, I wanted to just spend a few minutes and explain to you guys who the heck I was, which I should have done from episode number one, you know, and give you a little bit of history of my career, where I am today, where I'm going to, and where I'm trying to kind of be. Okay, this is a stress-free environment. When you come on my show, on my podcast, we're having a conversation. It's not an interrogation, all right? It's an interview. We're speaking about a specific topic, right? And we're looking at each other, and we're vibing. If you want to have a drink, you can have a drink. This is one of the most relaxing environments you'll ever find, besides being in some kind of fancy pool or a resort, right? I'm starting to ramble now, but it's Father's Day week. It's Father's Day weekend, so I want to say a happy Father's Day to all the dads out there, all the pops that are out there that have raised kids. You know, something that's not easy. There's no manual. God knows, there's no manual for raising kids, right? We get as much information from what we see our parents do, which is always not 100% the correct stuff, right? But we learn from them, and we keep trying to make it better for future generations. With that said, I am so proud of my two boys. I have two boys. They're not boys, they're actually men now. but I'm so proud of them for their accomplishments, you know, where they're at in life today, and I know where they're going. So, you know, as a dad, I'm blessed for my family. I'm thankful for so many things, my kids, my wife. Let me say something real quick. I wouldn't be here today, and I'll give my wife, let me get some brownie points. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for wifey. Because, you know, there's times where you need to be pushed, and she does the pushing, right? She encourages and says, yo, you can do this. Keep going. Don't stop. You start already. You got to finish, right? Oh, and also sometimes when we got to maybe get humbled a little bit, right? She can do both. She can encourage and she can humble. So I'm thankful. I am thankful for my wife for everything she's done, especially dealing with me during the last 29 years in law enforcement. You know, many times I had to miss special events, and we heard these stories before. But I gotta give credit where credit's due. So I'll thank wifey on this one. But yes, happy Father's Day to everybody. Be safe. I almost said something else. Be safe out there. It's a crazy society. Enjoy yourselves, and I wish everybody again a happy Father's Day. Thank you for your support. Please like the content. Please comment. You know, I accept all types of constructive criticism. Type whatever you want in there. Give me some feedback. That's the only thing that's going to make me better. Hey, you're speaking too fast. You're saying too many. You're saying these words too much, right? I've been catching myself saying So you kind of learn as you go. But please give me some feedback. Like the content. Subscribe, right? Doesn't cost you anything to subscribe. It just, you know, it'll help my channel kind of advance a little bit in that algorithm. That's another fancy word for it. I don't even know what. But it's, you know, what makes your channel stand out a little bit more than others. So please like, support, subscribe. Again, my podcast is presently on YouTube, and soon I'll have it on the other platforms like Podbean, Apple, and there's one more out there. Spotify. All right. So thank you again to everybody that has followed me to this point. Hopefully with this, some of you can get an idea as to who I am, what I'm about. And you know, I look forward to having more guests. So thank you again. Everybody have a safe weekend. Peace.